Good morning, everybody. Our reading is from Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 to 14. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him, in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our princes and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers, by bringing on us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us, yet we have not sought the favour of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster on us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him.
Well, good morning, everyone. On this Remembrance Sunday, we're going to be looking at faith's response to the Bible and looking at Daniel's attitude here. And it's an attitude that was reflected quite strongly in Christians during those war years, something for us to remember and look back on. Now, I want to apply Daniel's attitude particularly to the parts of the Bible that we find difficult or uncomfortable. You know, you'll read a text and it will seem like it's unjust or unfair, and we're not quite sure how to deal with it. And often we'll become quite cool towards the Bible and perhaps maybe even cross with God about that thing. So there's plenty for us to learn. And obviously the first thing is that Daniel is clearly very humble in his approach to God. To use an old fashioned word, he's contrite, or he's sad or remorseful. But we can say a lot more than that, and I hope that what we look at this morning will help us with those parts of the Bible which are difficult to understand. The first thing is that we are to know who's speaking when we read those parts of the Bible. We all find it hard to take constructive criticism, don't we? But if you know who it's coming from, and if you respect that person, if it's coming from someone who knows their stuff, then it's much easier to take that criticism than otherwise. I'm sure you all know Ian, a very good golfer. If Ian is giving instruction to one of his students, I don't know if he calls them students, about their golf technique, then obviously they're going to listen to him and they're going to want that feedback. But if I tried to give them feedback, well, if it was somebody I knew, they would probably laugh. If it was someone I didn't know, they'd probably be quite cross and quite annoyed. So when we get to these difficult parts of the Bible, who's speaking? Is it someone we know and we trust to give good advice and to say what's right? Or is it someone who doesn't know what they're talking about? Well, of course, we believe it's someone with authority. In verse 4, Daniel calls God the great and awesome God. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at some of Daniel's visions, and we've seen how God is in control of the whole of history. And there's no doubt that when Daniel was going about his business, when he opened the windows and looked out at the sky, or perhaps travelled through the deserts and saw the rivers and the mountains. He saw the work of this great and awesome God right there in front of him. He saw the wisdom of God. He saw the way that all of nature and all of humanity, all of civilization works together in different ways, its complexity, its beauty. And he saw this is the hand of a great and awesome God. But Daniel knows that the person speaking doesn't just have authority. He's not just this great and awesome, powerful creator. And we can tell that because throughout the book of Daniel, the thing that comes out again and again is his loyalty towards God. And he's loyal towards God because he finds God so lovable. So, right at the beginning, he refuses to eat the luxurious food of the king. A bit later on, he refuses to give up praying to God. Why would you stop speaking to somebody that you love? And so he's thrown into a lion's den, but of course God rescues him. He finds God extremely easy to love. Verse 4 again. I prayed to the Lord, my God. This is personal. And confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let's swap out the word covenant there for promise. This is a God who keeps his promise of love. And Daniel experiences that even through tough times. Which is why he can say in verse 9, the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. Now those words can sound a little bit cold and detached. It's quite easy to say God is merciful and forgiving. And we don't really feel and experience that. But Daniel felt it. God was someone he could turn to again and again with all of his troubles, maybe all of his failings, and he would find this God to be loving and gentle, but also strong and authoritative. He's an authority who cares deeply. And when you know that the person talking is like that, then that makes it easier for you to hear what they've got to say. And actually, in fact, it's a good thing to hear what they've got to say. We want to hear what they've got to say. So know who's speaking. And secondly, listen to them a lot. Obviously, we listen to God through the Bible, and I'd say dare to be a Daniel. Dare to be countercultural and read your Bible every single day. That's not obviously how that expression is usually used. It's sort of dare to be in the lion's den, kind of, you know, dare to be surrounded by people who disagree with you. But dare to be a Daniel. Read your Bible every day. You won't survive the lion's den until you can survive a little bit of reading and you hear from God a lot. Daniel saw the Bible as the word of the Lord given to someone to pass on to others. So in verse 1, in the first year of Darius, or Darius, son of Xerxes, Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. This is one case where Daniel didn't receive a prophecy directly from God. There's no vision. He's just reading his Bible. But he believes that God gave that word to Jeremiah the prophet to pass on to him. And he takes it at face value. He knows that God knows what he's talking about. He listens to him a lot. We love actually listening to people who know what they're talking about. If you look at the TED Talks online, the most popular TED Talks have about 50 million views. So people love it. I was at Oak Hill and I'd read a book that really fired me up and just really helped me to understand a particular subject. And one time when I was in chapel, in college chapel, I realized that I was sitting next to the author. He was one of the lecturers at Oak Hill. And so I was able to benefit from his teaching firsthand as well. And that was really exciting for me. He really inspired me. So it's great to listen to people who know what they're talking about. God knows what he's talking about. We listen to him a lot. Nebuchadnezzar, I should have a slide for this really, and I'm sorry that I don't. Time just ran away with us a bit this week with the lockdown preparations. Nebuchadnezzar first attacked Jerusalem around 605 BC, and he took Daniel and others captive. Then he came back a second time, a few years later, in 597 BC, and took some more captives, including Ezekiel. Christine Morrow said TED Talks, question mark. Just popular talks online about different subjects. If you Google it, you'll find loads of them. So Nebuchadnezzar's come back twice, the second time in 597, and Ezekiel was one of the people he took captive at that point. And then he returned in 587 to 586 and totally ransacked the place, totally destroyed Jerusalem. Then 70 years later, the Jewish people were trickling back to their homeland following a decree of Cyrus the Great that they should return home. So what a reversal of their situation. When we get to parts of the Bible that are difficult to understand, we need to listen to God at length. God knows what he's talking about. He knew that 70 years later, their fates would be reversed. So when the Bible troubles you, go back to it and keep listening. And by the way, this actually teaches us some quite interesting things about prophecy, because there's this whole conversation going on about TED Talks on the live channel. This teaches us a couple of things about prophecy, because here we see a prophecy that was given and then fulfilled. So we can see how the prophecy was fulfilled compared with what was said originally. And I just want to draw two lessons from that. The first thing we learn is that prophecy contains a simple truth, but the fulfillment of that might actually be more complicated than it seems on the face of it. So Daniel takes the 70 years at face value, and he's right to do that. He's taking God at his word. But in practice, Cyrus the Great's decree was 66 years after Nebuchadnezzar's first attack on Jerusalem. One writer says, "The 70 years of Babylon's ascendancy turned out to be a round number, which God mercifully shortened, for Babylon fell to Cyrus not in 535, but 4 years earlier in 539." But even then, it's not as simple as you might think. Because after Cyrus's decree, 66 years after Nebuchadnezzar's attack on Jerusalem, the Jewish people trickled back to the promised land in a process that actually took over 100 years. So it's very gradual. And we were talking about eschatology on Wednesday, and it's a good lesson for us to learn if we're looking at prophecies, to just keep in mind that the reality might be more complicated than the simple truth that we're supposed to learn from the prophecy. But of course, Daniel did take the prophecy at face value and was blessed because of that. Secondly, poetic language has a particular way of talking. It's quite poetic. Prophetic language, if I said poetic language. So prophecy is poetic. In the same chapter of Jeremiah that Daniel was reading, this is Jeremiah 25, if you want to look at it, God says both that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years, and that the land would experience everlasting ruin. So which is it? 70 years or everlasting? And the answer is, it is 70 years, but we're not supposed to think, well, 70 years, not quite sure what to do with that number, but 70 years, that doesn't sound too bad. We can survive 70 years. Although, actually, if you think about it, if this lockdown lasted 70 years, that's a big deal, isn't it? It's a long time. But we're not supposed to think 70 years, that's not too bad. Everlasting ruin is used to make us stop and think, God really means what he's doing here. This is a serious judgment upon Daniel and Daniel's people. So when we listen to God, we've got to pay attention to how he's speaking and what he wants us to learn from how he's speaking. Know who's speaking. Listen to them a lot and search for the meaning of what they're saying. And thirdly, know how to speak to them. The Queen and royal family will no doubt be taking part in some Remembrance Day memorials and observances. And during that time, people who come into contact with the Queen will address her deferentially and respectfully. And we need to do the same with God. We see that with Daniel in our passage, don't we? Our problem, I think, is that we're likely to be too casual with God. Now, don't get me wrong, God wants us to speak to him as a father and as a friend. And maybe for some people, the message you need to hear is, speak to God as a friend, speak to God as your father. He loves you, he cares about you. But I think for many of us, particularly in our culture, where authority isn't really often treated with respect so much as on an equal level, perhaps the message we need to learn is we need to respect God. We need to speak to him in a way that shows that respect. We're so used to speaking to him as a friend that we forget that he is the great and awesome God. So listen to what Daniel does in verse 3. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. It really piles up the descriptions, doesn't it? I turned, I pleaded in prayer and petition, in fasting, in sackcloth, or wearing rough material against his skin to be uncomfortable, and ashes, sitting on ashes to show that he was mourning. It's worth saying that he didn't pray like this all the time, because we also get a glimpse of him praying in chapter 6, and he wasn't praying like this. So he didn't always pray like this, but he did pray like this. Is the same true of us? In a way, it doesn't really matter how physically comfortable or uncomfortable we are when we pray. And in a way, it does matter, because it might show what we think about God, and it might even affect what we think about God. Let me sort of explain what I mean. It's genuinely hard to pray intensely and longingly when you're lounging in a big, comfortable armchair. So if you find prayer boring and difficult, if you find that you get to bits of the Bible that you don't understand and it's kind of pushing you away from God, think about how you're seated, how you're kneeling, perhaps when you pray, what your position is. Now, I hope you don't think I'm becoming too, too outward in this. Obviously, faith matters. That's the primary thing. But our faith, the way we feel about things, is affected by these things. And I really like this saying about prayer. And the same saying is also used about communion. When it comes to kneeling, none must. All may, some should. None must, all may, some should. And if you're struggling with what the Bible says, or if you feel like you're losing interest, you should. And then Daniel worships God, and despite Daniel's perfect track record as God's servant, he tells God that he and his people are wicked. They've rebelled, they've not listened, they've covered themselves with shame and have been unfaithful and have done everything to deserve the trouble that they're in. Let's not forget that Daniel was torn away from his parents as a boy, transported to a foreign land, forced to adopt their customs, bullied by fellow civil servants. In all of that, behaved impeccably as far as his relationship to God was concerned. And yet he never says, "This is unfair. God is unjust." He says the opposite. Verse 7, "Lord, you are righteous." Verse 14, "The Lord our God is righteous." Daniel knew that he and his entire people group had messed up. And yet in all of that suffering that they experienced as a result, God had been kind. So know who's speaking. Listen to them a lot, know how to speak to them, and finally, understand that speaking to that person is the answer. We tend to move away from a person who's suffering because we're a bit afraid of what to say, we are worried about putting our foot in it, but actually moving towards that person is the best thing we can do. And it's the same with God. Sometimes we read things in the Bible, like that the desolation of Jerusalem, an eternal ruin, would last 70 years, awful it seems, and that pushes us away from God. But let's learn a lesson from Daniel. He moved towards God, and that was the best thing he could have done. When we read bits of the Bible that are difficult, move towards God. Verse 9, the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. The one he's speaking to is the very answer to his problem. There are lots of warnings in the Bible about judgment to come, and often it's those texts that we find distasteful, that we find perhaps shake our faith a little bit in the justice of God and the love of God. But sometimes these things force us to move away from God, to be distant towards him, to be cool towards him. But in fact, he is the solution to the problem. And as you know, if you've been a Christian any length of time, he himself came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ to take the punishment that we deserve, the judgment that we deserve, so that we could be forgiven. And we receive that forgiveness when we move towards God. So let's learn a lesson from Daniel. Let's know who's speaking. Let's listen to them a lot. Let's know how to speak to God. And let's know that he is the answer. And all of that is faith's response to the Bible.